Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new show, something new that I'm trying to do. And I certainly hope that as time progresses, that I and indeed all of us who listen to the show will get a few more followers, and this that will then eventually the show will become something a bit more than just me talking. So I guess for the first few weeks, you will, unfortunately for you, have to be putting up with my boring and dulcet tones. But as the news spreads, I'm hoping that a few more people would like to contribute to the show. The show is As I See It. My name is Dean Duplessis, and it's good to have you along. But by the way, if you're wondering why the show is called As I See It, well, for those of you who don't know me, I am blind, and I've been blind since birth. And so the name of the show came about is because I'm talking about the show As I See It. And don't worry, it's not the sympathy card that I'm playing. It's just a little bit of an explanation as to how the show got its somewhat bizarre name. Right, so let's get into business, shall we? It certainly is nice to know that there are two test matches happening in the week, in 1 week, in the same week. Fantastic stuff. It takes me back to the good old days, or the good old times over the Boxing Day period, the Boxing Day and New Year period, when you had a test match in Australia, obviously the traditional Boxing Day Melbourne test match, and then invariably there'd be a test match in South Africa as well, in Durban. And if you were very, very lucky, sometimes New Zealand would even be playing a test match in New Zealand over that particular period of time. But we're not complaining. Two test matches, thank goodness there's no more football. And if you're a football lover, I'm sorry, but you do get a bit tired of it if you don't like it. So, two test matches, as I've said, for about the third time now. And we have India up against England. And that, of course, is going to be from Lord's, the home of cricket. And I'm certainly hoping that this is going to be a better test match than the first one. A couple of good performances, I suppose, than the first one. None more so than that last wicket stand of 197 between James Anderson and Joe Root, which certainly saved England from being in a considerable amount of trouble, which is exactly what they were before Anderson joined Joe Root. And won't Jimmy feel a lot happier after the debacle when he was unable to hold on until the very end? And unfortunately for him, and very fortunately for Sri Lanka, got out with a second last ball. I do believe that Anderson will feel considerably better. Fine, admittedly, they still didn't win the test match, but the fact that he was able to quite possibly redeem himself in that partnership and the way that he batted certainly showed that he is no mug with the bat, and that he doesn't just hold up an end, that he certainly is capable of scoring runs as well. So good on you, Jimmy. Well done. Nice to see that you showed some good bite, some good fight back, and some good character, bounce back character, I suppose we could call it. And nice to know Joe Root getting another 100 as well, batting down the order. And interesting to see that there are two former England players, Michael Vaughan and Mark Butcher, have said, both of them have said, that they are not so sure they are wanting Simon Kerrigan, the left-arm spinner, to be included in the start-up against India at Lord's. Michael Vaughan was saying he fears for Kerrigan because India, well, they play spinners basically with their eyes shut. So I suppose what he's really saying is they play them like I would play them. The only difference between them is that they would get away with it and I would lose my middle stump every time if I were to face Simon Kerrigan. But, well, interesting. I'd like to hear your thoughts. If I do have some feedback, I'd love to hear some feedback from you, by the way. What do you think? Do you think Simon Kerrigan will be a useful inclusion in the England side? I've certainly been following him quite closely, and he hasn't done too badly. So I think let's just see how it goes. Though Michael Vaughan obviously is closer to the action, and he certainly will know what he's talking about. Also, interesting that some of the comments being made about the pitches in England have fascinated me in particular. Again, Michael Vaughan has been pretty vocal about quite a few things of late. And then Graham Swann, of course, have been saying that the reason why the pitches aren't the same as what they used to be in England, for example, Trent Bridge, which, as you know, normally takes a great deal of seam and swing, and the bowlers do like bowling on it. Apparently, a lot of it has got to do with the new drainage systems that have been installed around the country to try and ensure that as much cricket is played. Now, I don't know a great deal. I'm not a curator. I'm just an armchair critic who loves the game and who writes about it on the odd occasion. So interesting to see, will the pitch at Lord's have the same problems as Trent Bridge? We hope not. We certainly hope that it's going to be a wicket that has plenty in it for the seamers. Lots of seam and swing movement for Jimmy Anderson, and that Stuart Broad will get a great deal of pace and bounce as well, as obviously the Indian bowlers as well. Will Kumar maybe get the ball to move around a bit? Will Ishan Sharma get pace and bounce? They're very capable, provided they get the pitches to play on. And then, of course, Sri Lanka up against South Africa. Now, this is going to be a fascinating series. South Africa obviously rejuvenated after that very, very good series win over Sri Lanka. Remember the last time they were there last year, they got trounced good and proper, and South Africa bounced back quite nicely to take the series. Congratulations to them, commiserations to the Sri Lankans. And what I'm interested in is, will AB de Villiers be fit enough to keep wicket? It doesn't seem that way. I think he will play. Will he be fit enough to play? And if he's not fit enough to play, where will they bat Quinton de Kock? That'll be interesting to see. My opinion is, and it's only my opinion, he should be slotted in at number 6 or number 7 and let him go out there and just play his natural game. So in other words, a bit of an Adam Gilchrist, Mahendra Singh Dhoni situation. Because that is the way de Kock is successful, is when he's nice and positive as well. So a great deal to look forward to. How will Hashim Amla go? He obviously has scored back-to-back hundreds and looked very, very good in the one-day internationals. Will that confidence rub off on him? Will it rub off on the team? We all know that Sri Lanka are a formidable side to play when they're playing at home. And of course, Mahela Jayawardena. Now, in the next edition of the show, I'm going to tell you a story about Mahela Jayawardena and how very, very kind he was to me as well. So we're keeping it short. We're keeping it sharp. I really do hope that we'll get more followers. And I thank you very, very much for listening. Next week, we'll obviously have a great deal more to talk about after the conclusion of two test matches. The first one, which gets underway on Wednesday. And then, of course, England up, that is South Africa and Sri Lanka. And then, of course, England up against India in the second test match starting on Thursday. That's what I was trying to say at Lord's. Thank you very much for listening. I sincerely hope that this show will gain momentum as we continue. But until then, until next time, until next week, it's goodbye for now.